Blog Talk Radio.
That was Prespect, a song called Devil's Sin. The reason why I played it is because part two of our interview with King George Clemens and also his little brother Alex. And Alex is featured in that group Prespect. And you can catch that on Spotify and just check it out. Give it a listen. Look for more upcoming songs from Prespect. Let's go ahead and jump into our part two interview with King George.
And he was
so fascinated because for him, I knew everybody. Well, I don't know everybody, but
yeah.
for him, everybody that he was wanted to know, he was surprised that I was sitting here and I know all Luther Allison, what's his name? Albert Collins.
Buddy Miles, you knew Buddy. I see you in the picture with Buddy Miles.
Yeah, yeah.
Buddy Miles.
Buddy Miles and all the people. He found out I knew him.
Yeah.
Before he knew me, you know. But then he came to me just as a guitar player, and I thought, well, he'd be good for me when he grows up. And now he's grown up.
Yeah.
But he can tell you about that.
Yeah.
That records that's on your computer, you listen to it later.
Yeah.
It's he plays any kind of way, but we don't send no country and western to you. So he's
thank you.
Playing some rock band.
Okay.
Yeah, country and western is all right, but we're not sold on it.
Yeah,
I don't do that anyway. Yeah.
Maybe in the future, yeah.
What about Band of Gypsies?
Yeah.
You play any Band of Gypsies? Play Band of Gypsies?
Yeah.
All right.
That's why I think Power of Soul.
Power of Soul, that's right, yeah.
Because I think Band of Gypsies, Jim is, that's
go.
His artwork.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, nice.
Billy Cox. Yeah, I know him too.
Okay.
Jimmy introduced me here to him years ago when he was coming out of the army or something.
Okay.
Not that I was there.
Yeah.
But Billy Cox was riding around in New York with a Mach 4, what do you call it, limousine. He had a white girl with the Continental, Lincoln.
Yeah.
Lincoln Continental.
He was riding around New York then, and he didn't give. He was looking for a gig, but Jimmy wasn't in shape to give anybody any gigs before he came over to Europe. And then, like we all do, everybody was eating his, they was talking good all about it. And some of it went to his head. The last time I saw Jimmy, I told him to stop taking the drugs because they write it in the papers over here. They write big things about drugs and Jimi Hendrix. And I said, you know, the way they do it, they can hear you whenever they want to. And all they're going to say is drugs. Even now they say it's drugs, you know. And
what do you think happened with Jimi Hendrix?
Straight.
You think that Jimi
you know
Hendrix
said,
was murdered?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that?
Because then we had a discussion about it, and I said to them, well, I don't believe it because it was easy to kill Jimi Hendrix. Just lace out some drugs. By this time, he could use cocaine or whatever. By this time, sometimes he couldn't have LSD, so he come into other things. I said, all he do is lay it on the table. He had taken it to show what a man he was. He could have all his stuff in his head and go on stage and still play. You know, I tried it once. I couldn't play. The guitar turned to the rubber band. After I came to Europe, I thought, this LSD must be good for him. It's good for me. But it wasn't.
Yeah.
So I tried it once, maybe twice, but I got out of it. I got rid of it. I said, because I want to control myself.
Yeah.
He couldn't control himself. If
yeah.
they give him a bad trip, he's going to play bad no matter what they do. And they know they give him a bad trip. And he go on stage and tune for 2 hours and walk off.
Yeah.
You know?
Did you meet Michael Jeffrey? Did you meet Michael Jeffrey, his manager at the time? Michael Jeffrey?
Yeah. Where did that book at?
Jimi
Hendrix book.
It's just down there.
Yeah, find the picture here.
Yeah.
Well, I have a picture with my daughter.
Me first.
Can you see this?
Yeah, what's her name?
Ditta.
Okay. That's the one that everybody thought was Jimi Hendrix until they found out it was your daughter.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
yeah. So I sued him, and the photographer, they duck around. It's like a, what do they call them, them guys who follow the
paparazzi.
The paparazzi sell pictures.
Yeah, the paparazzi.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like that's the way they. That's another one. Yeah.
Okay. Where was that? Sweden.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
And
whose book is that?
Yeah,
Caesar
I found this online.
Who's the author?
Yeah, Best of Univibes.
Caesar Glebic. Caesar Glebic.
It comes from England.
Okay.
It's a lot of illegal
pictures.
There's a lot of interviews in here.
Okay.
A lot of interviews.
Yeah.
Did you give them permission to use your picture? You didn't.
What?
Did they get the permission? Permission to use your picture?
No. No, that was long ago. That's why I asked you. I'm trying to find out why do they spread? And the paparazzi, the guy, he's still running.
Yeah.
He's still selling and still running. Anytime I get anywhere close to him, he took that picture and sent it north of Sweden. And said, Jimmy finds his son.
Oh,
my
man.
Daughter.
Yeah. Yeah.
And my daughter, she lives not far from here. She has to live with that. She don't like Jimi Hendrix. When she was little, if you look at the picture, you saw she didn't want to take no picture with it.
Yeah.
She said, my daddy plays better. You just make a lot of noise.
Yeah.
I said, but that's a man. You can't talk to him like that.
Yeah.
He said, nah. Yeah, they didn't have no good relationship. But now that she's almost 50, she can use it, you know, people. Because, you know, his son changed himself to being a girl.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Where is
he from?
So when they show the picture now of Jimmy with his son,
yeah.
He thinks that my
daughter.
Okay. Have changed.
Oh, no. Man.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I tell you what, though. When it comes to, like, do you remember the Band of Gypsies album? Like, were you in Europe when the Band of Gypsies album came out in 1970?
Yeah, I was here.
How did people react to that particular album? Because I know there was some, I didn't know if it was, did it? Was it released over in Sweden where you were?
Yeah.
It was.
You can get it. Everybody was crazy about it.
Yeah.
You know, but they have a different way to look at things.
Yeah.
They go for, that's the thing about it here. They go for the music, not the political thing. They don't know nothing about Jimmy had two white guys to play for him first. They know that. And he got two black guys. And as far as these people are concerned, the black guys play Jimmy's music better.
Yeah.
And in some ways he did. But they didn't leave him so much ground to make a new thing.
Yeah.
He played with his people the way he wanted to, and then he didn't want to because he wanted to play blues.
Yeah.
That's his basic. He's all the time he wants to play blues. And they said, no, we can't make money from that.
Yeah.
You have to make these, he used our blues to make the blues, the music that he made. He know they didn't know that.
Yeah.
Because he's a rhythm player. He was a rhythm player. The first time I saw him, he was playing rhythm. That Don Corvey song, doom, 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 doom. Do 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 do, have mercy. That was a rhythm thing.
Yeah.
And I asked out Don, where did they find it? Don wouldn't tell me.
Mm-hmm.
He fired me.
Yeah.
In Apollo Theater, what's his name? The disc jockey fired me because I sung out of turn over Don Torrey. He was so full of pills he couldn't sing.
Yeah.
And the big band played it, and we had a rhythm section, only a rhythm section, and a band put a horn back. And he started to put the song in the wrong place, and then I took over the song. That's why I got fired. And then I went over to RCA Victor, and they gave me sang with Ray Charles Band and four of my songs. What another guy wrote, another guy set it up. I can't even remember his name. There's a country and western song I put on my computer one day. I'm Gonna Be Somebody Someday was my song. And there's country and western people doing it. It's not the same. So anyway, I don't know where he is. Have Mercy, when I got over there, they said this song belongs to Mick Jagger. I didn't know that before I came over. Yeah. And John Covey, he used to hang out with Mick Jagger. Mick Jagger was over top of my head all the time, stomping his feet and playing, having a party.
Yeah.
And I wasn't allowed out to meet him, but I met him through Jimmy. Jimmy said, well, that guy's arranging a lot of things. He don't talk to him so much, but he talked to Animals. Who was his name?
Chaz Chandler.
The Animal singer.
Yeah,
Eric Burton.
Eric Burton.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a lot of people say I sound like Eric Burton. In some records, I sound like Tom Jones. They actually say that. It's not what I agree to. I agree to Eric Burton, but he's sweet. I saw him not too long ago. He was with a girlfriend of mine, and I didn't like the way he screaming about anything.
Yeah,
he's always and when Jimmy died, he come up. He went to the wall. He took on some colored people, and went to the wall, but they was Puerto Rican.
Yeah.
So it's a different kind of black people, you know. They stuck to the mold of,
A lot of people say Caribbean
band playing funk.
Okay.
Had a little wide band of cowboy hat, and then Eric Burton, he backed up. He's still over here. He comes through here sometimes.
A lot of people say that he was with Jimmy's death. He knows something that that he's not telling about Jimmy's death.
Yeah. Oh yeah. He knows something that makes him shut up.
Yeah.
For real.
Okay.
Yeah, because I've been watching him. He don't have in his concerts today. He don't say one thing about Jimmy.
Yeah.
And the people that are sitting and looking at it, they're looking like they know, he knows,
yeah.
But nobody else don't know.
Yeah.
And I saw that. I thought, wait a minute. And in some magazine, he was out there burning some shit in the yard that he said was Jimmy's dope.
Yeah.
He was burning in the yard, so the police didn't find it.
Yeah.
And they never caught anything else. And then he was quiet for a while. And then he comes up doing little gigs, the kind of gigs that I'd be doing sometimes. Well, the big gigs now are little for me. When in the 60s, tallest, I played with Jimi Hendrix in Copenhagen. Yeah, they got some interviews, and that's the first time I've seen him since we left 4 years apart. He booked me to Copenhagen. We played there up to Stockholm. We done a big gig where Michael Jackson and Jimi Hendrix and all them people in Stockholm.
Yeah.
Grenadine.
Yeah,
he played in there, up there. And then he moved to Gothenburg and played in the big one there. And then he was running back and forth after that to a lot of half, not so big gigs. You know, you could call him and make a deal with him. And he always could make a deal with them guys he was playing it with, the white guys. So him and I used to talk in secret, except that manager heard us. What his name?
Mike Kiffer.
Huh?
Mike Kiffer or Chaz
Chandler? Huh? Speak up.
Chaz Chandler.
Yeah. Chaz Chandler heard me talking to Jimmy, you know. And we didn't like that. We used to talk in secret. When he'd sit down, we'd talk like he's talking now. And I never noticed this guy was listening. And I know that because he writes books now.
Yeah.
Well, he did before he died. And in the books is some things that I told Jimmy. He didn't tell Dilly nothing. He didn't tell him. He didn't tell him. He fixed him up with as much drugs as he want. Yeah, that's the main thing. And he had all these people around. Even when he was out in California, he had no peace. He had rooms up there in the hotel, Beverly Hills, full of people. But he wasn't there.
Mm.
He went somewhere else
because
they was messing up his room. I didn't mess up everything. And another guy went and talked to Jimmy out on the street and said, well, why don't you come to this party? He said, it's a mess up.
Yeah.
You know, when he was in Sweden, they came to me and they wanted to open a club in Jimmy's name. And I allowed it, but I kept control of it for 2 years. And then they came to the club one night here in Sweden and told me I don't have no license to sell alcohol. There's people taking LSD on a rooftop, and you got to close. And when I say close, I must close. It's just me. Nobody else don't know nothing about nothing. It's just me.
Yeah.
So I told him, I'm getting old now. I can't do this. Because every time you run into a bunch of kids, you're going to take me for whatever they're doing. You know, the drugs, the alcohol. And it's, yeah, well, with the Trump thing, you know, things was looking up for Obama. And now we're dealing with Trump. Things are just as bad over here. But the States is big.
Yeah.
So over here, it's little. But I see the things happening. And racism, we got it. We got it here. We got it everywhere we go.
Did you face a lot of racism when you first came to Sweden? Like when you first got over there, was anything that kind of stood out to you? Or was the racism the same as the United States in the 60s? Or was it different in Sweden when you first got
there? Yeah, it was quite different. You know, the women run things over here. The women, all of the ordinary women.
Yeah.
They're running things over here. And if we down south or anywhere in America, they call us what they think. They will call us a nigger.
Yeah.
Over here, they're never going to call you that.
Hmm.
They can think it.
Yeah.
But they don't say it. They know it's a bad thing.
Yeah.
So it was like that. I've had things done to me because of that N-word.
Yeah.
But I never could prove it. But through the women, I could prove it. Because I see the woman jump in between and tell them, stop with that.
Yeah.
I tell them, you stop with that. I know what you're doing. And then they go to sit down. You know, the Texas driver threw me and a black man out of his taxi for 2 weeks ago. Weeks ago. I was going to my therapist to see the doctor, and I didn't have any money, but I have all kind of, credit, because these people look out for me. And I tell them, call my credit people, and tell them I don't have no money. And they call them, and the credit people say, I don't know about this. He threw me out the cab. And now, he wasn't supposed to do that.
Hmm.
Yeah, a sick man, I could be as sick as I wanted to be. Didn't matter to him. He threw out me, and I had another black man with me. He was from France. He takes care of me. And they threw him out. So I said, I understand him. he had two black men come to his taxi, one with a wheelchair, an Indian suit on, and a big, tall French man, and we ain't got no money. Well, I understand it, but it's racism.
Yeah.
See, they try to fix it, so you're never going to call them a racism.
Yeah.
No. You know, ain't no need of me telling the people they did this to me because I was black. Mm-mm.
Yeah.
That's an old, old story. They don't want to hear that.
Yeah.
I have to have something to say, some proof of what they did that man threw me out of the taxi. That's true. But I don't use it. But it's true.
Okay.
Because he's not supposed to do that, especially to a sick man.
Yeah.
I could fall off. It was snowing, the whole thing. So in that way, I've come across what's called isolated racism, you know, things that, but usually the women, they are beautiful in that way. They take care of that.
Yeah.
They make me feel bad. They care for me more than the man. I understand them, but they take extra care of me. Since I've been sitting in the position that I'm in now to come in, I have nurses, I have maids that clean up, I have a big brother, little brother with me,
yeah.
And it's going all right. And in a few more minutes, I'll be walking because I have trouble to walk. But I'm taking the exercise, and I figure that it's not too long before I've been walking again. And when I sing, I don't sing like I'm talking.
Yeah.
You know, it's like when I was growing up, we used to have it. A man that stammers can sing, you know, and that's what it is for me.
Okay.
I hang up on a lot of words, but what I'm singing is,
okay.
Slow. Yeah.
Now Alex has his own group, right? I think you sent something to me. I think you're on Spotify. You have your own group and a song that you had.
I started a band recently called Prespect.
Okay, what
does
that
mean?
Like a mix
between blues and rock.
Blues and rock. Okay. What does the name mean? Prespect. What does that mean?
Prespect. It means like, there's no ID. You don't judge any IDs before you give them a chance.
Okay.
So that's like mainly what we did with Devil Sin. We threw a bunch of IDs together, and then we did them all the way through till we could take a step back and start judging which IDs was best. And I see even now that it really took 2 to 3 years to make. Because I had to get involved deeper with George and learn some of my roots in the music. So the intro part is like confirmation of the things I learned from George.
Now this is blues and rock mixed together.
Yeah, and it's like me paying tribute to all the greats and all my influences as a guitar player, because I played guitar for like 10 years. And ever since I could crawl, I got my hands on the Jimi Hendrix record. And I always believed Jimi Hendrix's quote, sometimes you want to throw away the guitar, but if you stick to it, you'll be rewarded. And my reward was George. That's what I believe. And,
okay.
Now I just try to stick to George as much as I can and help him get to the stage.
Mm.
And
that's
our next move.
Prize would be
right. That
I come to the States
after
I get well.
Okay. If you do, maybe I get to meet you. If you come to the States, maybe I get to meet you.
Yeah. If you get to the States, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, I'll let you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or if I make
but now that you know, he knows, I know, you know how I come.
Yeah.
You know, my name is George. Where you with me?
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, in Virginia, King George, oh, damn, I got a lot of trouble for that.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, well, when I named myself, there was B.B. King, there was Albert King, a whole lot of kings.
Yeah, Freddie
so
King.
So I
we'll
said,
have part
why
three
don't they tell the truth?
Later.
I'm of King George.
Okay. That's a very catchy name, King George.
And I didn't
extra time, about 15 minutes.
Know that it had
so if you click on later, you'll be able to hear
Virginia.
The rest.
I found out a lot later.
The interview
how
was only about a minute
King
and a half.
King George had to do with Virginia and the wall and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But they didn't fix me from that place.
Okay.
I remember
you'll
in school
be able to
they
hear
showed
a song
me
I'm gonna play.
in Williamsburg, they showed me posters of slaves. I saw this one. I know Emmett Till. I can't forget him either.
Emmett
Till and a whole lot of pictures they showed me.
Yeah.
And after that, I went to the school and told. I had some trouble with my boys. I said, we're going to protest it. When I went to the school, I was the only one that protested. Everybody else went quiet.
Yeah.
I got in a lot of trouble because
yeah.
I told them what I think. He said, oh, this is history. I said, take it down.
Yeah.
Take it down. I want to see it.
Yeah.
I said, I was bad off before I knew about it.
Yeah.
And they teach me that. At a very early age, the Cooks is my real family name. The Cooks, we lived in a half good place, a big house,
yeah.
and the other people was living over there, and we thought we was better, but I didn't think so. They thought so for me.
Yeah.
No. I couldn't go for that.
King George. Discovery. 1968. This is his tribute to Jimi Hendrix. Called It Ain't Me in the Spirit of Jimi Hendrix from 1968.